Hi, everyone. Welcome. I thank you to the panelists for joining us today, and thank you to this very packed house. You know, the lights are dim, but I can tell this is the best-looking audience I've ever been in front of. So I'm going to ask the panelists to do a quick intro of themselves. I'll introduce myself also. But last, Mike, why don't we start with you?
Sure. I'm Michael Scoggin. I'm the VP of Mobile for MTV, working on a lot of our second screen companion experiences, a lot of sort of social media integration into our temples, apps, mobile web, anything mobile you can think of.
Hi, I'm Paul Chang. I'm Senior Marketing Manager over at Showtime. I handle pretty much a lot of things that Michael's covered, a lot of integration of emerging technologies and what we do, a lot of social aspects in digital media.
I'm Jared Hecht. I'm the co-founder of GroupMe. GroupMe is a group messaging platform that helps you stay in touch with the people in your life that are important to you. And it's very nice to be back here at South by Southwest.
Hi, I'm Kimber Myers. I'm the Director of Partnerships for GetGlue. We are a social network for entertainment where you can share what you're watching, listening to, and reading.
And my name is Tom Tai. I head up marketing for Bluefin Labs. So Bluefin is a social TV analytics company. So we measure the social activity around TV. So when people are watching a big event, a small show, a medium-sized show, we measure and organize all those conversations. So, you know, I see from my briefing sheet that this panel is called The Future of Entertainment, Viewer Becomes User. So I'll open it up to the panel to begin with. What is Viewer Becomes User? What does that mean to you?
So I think it's, to me, it's a little bit about how do you take something that's been passive, which is watching TV, and make it active? Or, and I'm stealing this from one of my colleagues, how do you make lean back, lean forward? You know, where people can interact with the show, the cast, you know, their friends, while they're watching TV. I mean, I think people are doing this now. I think a lot of people have seen the research. It's 75-80% of people are watching TV with their phone open, their computer, their tablet device. So we just want to try to make that experience better.
Yeah, I think, you know, Michael touched on some interesting points. For us, it's definitely looking at ways that, you know, we can empower our users to really discuss, engage with other friends and other fans of shows to discuss what they're watching. Certainly, I think some of the work that GroupMe and GetGlue are doing are part of that. We all know that people are out there tweeting, talking about things, you know, that are happening to shows and what they're watching, and that's like a big part of the conversation, you know, at all times. But what we're looking to do is really to look at ways that we can integrate interesting emerging technologies around television and ways for these people to connect with each other, you know, have interesting ways to interact with our shows, whether it's polls, questions, fan comments, and look at ways to provide them you know, a great opportunity to talk with our fans.
I think I take a very literal interpretation of it, whereas people used to just be viewers, and now people are literally using things. Whether they're watching something, they're also using something else, whether it's a phone, whether it's a tablet, whether it's related to the show that they're watching, whether it's totally unrelated. And I think it's going to be really interesting to talk about all the other types of things that they're using and the behaviors and mannerisms that they do while they're watching live entertainment.
Yeah, I think for us what's important to note is that the water cooler effect of, you know, you used to have to wait until the next morning to talk about what was exciting in your shows. Now you can do it at that exact second. So whether it's, you know, Beyonce's baby bump or the latest person to kick the bucket on The Walking Dead, nobody wants to wait 12 hours anymore when you can immediately discuss that with your friends and other fans.
Okay, so now let's get a little specific here. I think you guys have, as companies, have all done pretty pioneering work in this area. Mike and Paul from the perspective of TV networks like MTV and Showtime, and Jared and Kimber from the perspective of consumer technology companies like GroupMe and GetGlue. Tell us about maybe one of the projects that you guys are most proud of in this area.
There's so many, and we have done partnerships with both GroupMe and GetGlue, and of course those are our favorite ones. You know, I think we also have a long history with Twitter dating back to 2007, and putting those guys in the movie awards and the VMAs back then, and that's progressed every year around, you know, our big tentpole events like the VMAs and movie awards. 2009, 2010, and last year, I think we've been able to do some pretty interesting things there. And you know, what we looked at a few years ago was, you know, people are talking about our shows while they're happening, and we can either choose to ignore it or choose to embrace it. And especially around the VMAs, I think we chose to embrace it and try to, you know, represent that in the show in a different way, in an aggregate way, in a visual way. And I think that was, you know, sort of, you know, started a lot of what you see on TV now. So that's been a great partnership. But I think, you know, the really good partnerships are with people, you know, that are doing something that really add value or are different than what we're doing ourselves. You know, GroupMe, for instance, you know, we know that our audience wants to watch TV with their friends. And GroupMe is a great platform to enable them to do that easier. GetGlue, you know, we have second screen apps. We have people going to our website, but we don't have people checking in. We're not giving people a unique sticker. So I think it makes sense for us to partner with people when there's something different and unique, and they bring value, you know, to the table.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. You know, for stuff that we've done, you know, Showtime as a network, and looking at new things that and emerging platforms that can tie and create new experiences for our users. You know, I learned about GroupMe last year at South by Southwest. So immediately after I came back from the conference, I wanted to get in touch with Steve and Jared. Just talk about ways that we can look to use our platform, you know, to build an experience for our fans. What I really, really enjoyed about, you know, this with GroupMe is that it's more of a kind of an intimate, you know, discussion with your friends. We know, you know, everyone wants to talk and they text their friends all the time about what's happening when they're watching shows. I think that was a really, really interesting, you know, opportunity for us to say, hey, this is a great, you know, technology to kind of embrace. We wanted to kind of give this a shot and look at ways that we can kind of incorporate our Dexter fans to be really excited about our shows. So we kind of launched at Comic-Con, which was kind of a big, so it was like a big experience for us each year. We have like a large panel with a lot of our stars, Michael C. Hall. And we always usually typically are there to promote, you know, the trailer for the new season. So being able to kind of start there, you know, encourage people to kind of go ahead and create groups among their friends. And then, you know, obviously message, you know, to these larger groups about when the trailer's first live or other updates around news. Was very interesting to us to see that, you know, a lot of groups, even after the season was over, were still engaging because, you know, in their essence, it's, you know, it's our core group of friends. So I think that was really interesting for us and certainly a great learning. How do we take something that's not public or out there on Facebook or Twitter, look at ways that, you know, we have like a very, very unique experience where we can bring users together around their friends to share things that they're watching. And certainly I think with GetGlue, it's also interesting. You know, people are always saying like they're watching a certain show. You know, I think their technology really offers a great way for people to check in quickly and easily, share that amongst their groups, and also really they've become like a hub for great fans kind of come together and stir conversation around shows. So, you know, we've been very, very happy and lucky to work with them.
I think for GroupMe, we started this with this fundamental thesis that people have a lot more fun when they're talking with private groups of people, people that they actually know in real life. They're more creative, they can say things that they normally wouldn't say in broadcast channels. The conversation is much more intimate, so they can really be themselves. And what we began to realize when we first did GroupMe was that people were getting together around very specific use cases, whether it was a family, coworkers, fantasy football teams, and television shows. One of the first use cases that we actually saw was we built this at a 24-hour hackathon. We created our first group, and we used it to talk about the Lost series finale. And it was about a year ago when we approached MTV and Showtime. We're fortunate enough to do a partnership on America's Best Dance Crew and Dexter. And we got to test that thesis. What happens if you're a Dexter fan and you create a group with five other Dexter fans and you have an opportunity to talk to them throughout the entire course of a season? And not only can you just talk to your friends, but Dexter and Showtime can send you awesome creative content, do giveaways, run contests, throw you sneak clips of what's happening during next week's episode. And very similar with America's Best Dance Crew, you know, what happens when once a week you actually have one of the dancers from one of the shows drop into your group and start a conference call with you or start texting with you. So be able to test really cool, interesting things. And going back to, you know, viewer becoming user, one of the things that we looked for when we started thinking about, you know, enhancing the second screen experience was, you know, what do you actually do when you're watching video? You're not just watching it, sometimes you're texting, sometimes you're shopping, sometimes you're looking up information that is relevant to the show, sometimes it's totally irrelevant. And I think, you know, one of the value propositions that we came to the networks with was that, hey, people are already doing this natural mannerism, they're texting their friends, they're talking about what's on television right now, what's live. Let's give them a medium that's more controlled, a medium that's more fun, and let's let you tap into that. So it's been pretty cool seeing it pan out.
So we, of course, as I said, we encourage people to check in to what they're watching. And the check-in is this great, easy, lightweight thing that you can do quickly. But there are a couple things beyond that we really are excited about. And the first that most people who know Get Glue are most familiar with are our stickers. So all of our stickers are officially branded. So like we work with Paul's group to make sure that the stickers for House of Lies are appropriate for the particular episode, and they're also really going to appeal to the fans of the show. But beyond that, we also really drive the conversation. We have this great functionality on the site and our apps where the most interesting conversations are surfaced. So rather than like the crazy chatter that comes with having 2 million users, a huge chunk of which are watching a particular show or event at one time, we're able to really surface the most interesting comments determined by an algorithm that is far beyond my math ability. But I can tell that the results are awesome and that people are really having these vibrant conversations. So we're excited to work with groups like you. I know we've done a lot of other cool stuff too, where you're getting rewarded with more than just great conversations or cool stickers. For example, with all the 2011 seasons of Showtime shows, if you checked into every episode, you were entered to win DVDs of that season. So it was really a great way of rewarding fans with something that would mean something to them.
Jared, I have a question for you.
Sure.
Now, this being South by Southwest, I think it may be safe to say that a large majority of the audience are already very familiar with GroupMe, but and also probably have one of your rain ponchos for today, so thank you for making those for us.
There's some up front here, I think, if you guys need them.
But just in case there are people who aren't already familiar with GroupMe, can you describe kind of like the user experience of what the consumer experience is of these groups that you're describing?
The branded groups, the partner groups.
Yeah.
So we have a couple of experiences, actually. They're hosted on the web, they're inside of our application, and sometimes they're actually in third-party applications. So when we first launched all these partnerships, what we would do is create a website like groupme.com/America's Best Dance Crew. You would go to that site, you would create a group, invite your friends, you would get a GroupMe group, you would text back and forth, or you would chat within the application, and during the course of the entire season, MTV could send you broadcast messages saying, you know, tune in reminders, here are exclusive photos from last week's episodes, here's a new video that nobody else has access to for next week's episode, cool things like that. One other thing we do is feature a lot of our brand partners within our app under the Discover tab. And one cool thing that we've been doing is we have this client library where a third-party developer can actually take group creation functionality from GroupMe and embed it within their app. So if you go and download the Dexter application right now, actually, I think on the third or fourth tab, it's a GroupMe tab. You can create a group directly from that app, tap right into your address book. So if you know that there are four people that you like that watch Dexter with you or share the same passion for Dexter, you can invite them to a group, and it's the same thing. You can chat within, you know, the GroupMe app, you can chat within the Dexter app. Showtime and Dexter can send out broadcast notifications. They ran contests. I think you gave away a life-size Dexter doll to one group that was super active.
Yeah, exactly. A Comic-Con.
Yes. Yeah. Not creepy at all. It actually worked. But it works. It's really fascinating. And, you know, we tested this thesis that we had, and we actually have data that goes and says, hey, this thesis was right. You know, one-third of these groups that are created stay active after a series finale. During a season premiere or during any single premiere of an episode, we see a 10x surge in messaging activity across those branded groups. So people are communicative. They are talking before, during, and after a show, and we're seeing these spikes very similar to what you would see in other social media channels, but it's engaged conversation with people who know each other in real life.
Okay, Kimber, I have a question for you. Now, you know, I was looking at the agenda for South by Southwest, and there are a lot of social TV panels and discussions here this year. So, and I think from a consumer's perspective, there's a lot of choice in the marketplace, right? A lot of things you can do in this thing that people are calling social TV. What would you say is the most unique aspects of the GetGlue platform, the GetGlue consumer application?
I mean, first off, the stickers, as I said, are pretty awesome in that they're all specifically branded and approved and official, so that you're getting these images of these people that you love. But over the last 6 months or so, we've really pushed the social aspect of the conversation, and we're seeing great engagement around shows where we don't have stickers. I'm a big How I Met Your Mother fan, although I was a bigger fan when it was a better show. But say, for example, when a new show is on Mondays, there are no stickers. You're not getting rewarded in our traditional way, but there are still thousands of people watching and talking about the show, which is really exciting. I think it backs up our product. And the fact that we now have 2 million users, which in the field of social TV is really nice, is a really great number. So you're not ever watching a show alone. You're watching it not only with your friends, but also thousands, tens of thousands of other people at the same time.
Okay. Now, I'll throw this question out to all of you guys. Any of you, feel free to weigh in. You know, in one aspect of social TV, there's this notion of sharing your TV or just in general your entertainment experience with large groups. Like if you tweet about it, it goes out to your entire social graph on Twitter, and the same for Facebook and things like that. You know, GetGlue, potentially you can share with your friends on GetGlue, and then similar people, right? You bubble up kind of like similar people. GroupMe is sort of a different model because you focus more on small groups. For the MTV and Showtime folks, you've worked with both these companies. Can you talk a little bit about kind of like the different dynamics of sharing with small groups versus big groups, and also kind of like the situations where you find it's more effective in small groups, and then other situations maybe big groups work better?
I mean, I think, you know, one of the ways that we're looking at the second screen experience, I mean, our app that's out there is called Watch With, and, you know, as we're working on sort of future iterations of that, we're thinking that, you know, what do people want to do when they watch TV? They either want to watch with their friends, they want to watch with the channel, you know, with us, you know, through content and polls and trivia and access to the cast, or they want to watch with everyone. And there's certain, you know, sort of applications and things that are you know, great for all of that. You know, GroupMe is great for watching with your friends. When we did the experiment around Dance Crew, and I say an experiment because, look, this is a brand new space. We're all learning, and I think that's one of the big value of these partnerships with people like GroupMe and GetGlue for MTV is that we learn. You know, we learn what works, what doesn't. What people want to do and what they don't want to do. And what we saw with Dance Crew was we saw thousands of small groups. You know, we were thinking going in, you know, oh, is it going to be 10 people, 20 people, 30 people? No, it was thousands of groups of 2, 3, 4 people. So it sort of, you know, to us said, you know, sort of validated that thing that people do want to watch, you know, with people that they know in smaller groups. But we're sort of looking at it in all three ways, and how can we make that easier to do? And like I said, a lot of these things people are already doing, and how can we make that easier? So for us, those are the three buckets that we look at. You know, watch with your friends, watch with the channel, and watch with everyone.
Yeah, I think for us it's interesting just because, you know, with you know, partners like GroupMe and GetGlue, it's great for us because we actually have, with our content, a good similarity in terms of people that are utilizing those technologies and people that are watching our shows. You know, we have, you know, we're very, very lucky in the fact that our users are adopting these platforms, and likewise, users of these platforms also, you know, viewers of our shows. You know, with GroupMe, it's very interesting just because, you know, for us, it was also a big learning experience. You know, with open-ended, you know, broadcast channels like Twitter, you feel comfortable, you know, as a network, tweeting around, you know, 10, 15 times a day. When an episode is on, all the things are happening as fans are able to kind of choose and interact that. And, you know, within their own stream, they're getting hundreds of messages a day. With GroupMe, it's a little bit different, right? So understanding, you know, where does it stop? You know, how many times can you effectively communicate without potentially annoying, you know, this audience and this core group of, you know, smaller group of friends that actually want to talk about the show, maybe don't necessarily want to get 5 messages during the show. They want to kind of interact you know, prior to, you know, as, you know, and also like post show, but maybe not 10 times during the show. So that was really interesting for us to kind of understand and work with them to understand, okay, you know, how frequent should we be, especially if it's like within the show itself. I think also with Get Glue, it's great too, because not only are people checking in, but now we kind of have a great way to really target our users and, you know, our fans around serving up preview scenes for all the episodes. That's something that we're starting to look to do now. So after you check in, you may get a sticker around, you know, a specific episode, and then subsequently being able to get offered up a preview scene for the next show. That keeps our users engaged and wanting to look forward to, you know, talking with their friends about what's going on and also getting excited about the new show. So, you know, they have a, you know, GetGlue's built out a great kind of partner widget, which allows us to really, you know, effectively run specials as well. You know, we've been very, very thankful that, you know, we can offer kind of merchandise discounts to our fans as well that are checking in frequently. So for us, I think, you know, as we're understanding that this space is fairly, very new, you know, social TV as a whole, I think in the past year has really taken off. A lot of this is going to be learnings through, you know, being able to embrace these technologies, being able to kind of work with them and find the right, I guess, balance between communication and introduction to our own fans, and something that we'll continue to do.
But it cracks me up a little bit saying social TV is new. I think TV has always been social.
Right.
I think the only thing that's changed is the tools and the technology that you're using to socialize around it and the speed of which you're able to do that. But yeah, I think everyone knows TV has always been social from maybe day one.
I think it's nice to hear you say that you were experimenting, because I remember a year ago when we approached both of you guys, as confident as we were definitely winging it. And it's good when other people take chances like that, because it was just an idea, and I think we were very fortunate that it worked out, because it is a use case that makes sense. And I feel like, you know, it's difficult when you go out there and you talk to you're a small company and you're a startup and you're like 10 people, and then you go and talk to a big corporation that has thousands of people or tens of thousands of people, and you're like, hey, we got this idea. It's going to change the way that viewers watch your show. And they're like, who are you? But it's nice when you can experiment on both ends. And I think you see really awesome things happen, whether it's in private communication channels or public communication channels. It's just nice when you stray from the norm and you see things that actually get traction.
Now, Jared, even within YouTube partnerships with a lot of different TV networks, and even outside of the TV part of entertainment, other pieces, other entertainment companies, like even within the small groups themselves, are you seeing different dynamics with kind of like a certain show or music or this and that, where people interact with GroupMe in different ways? Any kind of like audience insights you can share?
Yeah, I mean, so we, you know, we have multiple types of groups. Some of these things are very temporal. So for instance, South by Southwest, we have a South by Southwest branded group for everybody here, so you can stay in touch with all of your friends while you're down here. These South by Southwest groups are going to be really active over the course of the next 2 weeks. And then after 2 weeks, they're probably going to go inactive until next year comes around. And then we have seasonal partnerships, which lasts for 2 months or 3 months, whatever the duration of a television season is or live show is. So, you know, we see all different types of user behavior. But the interesting part is all the user behavior mimics what you do in real life. It mimics the types of relationships that you have in real life. If it's your college friends and you're talking during semester one and semester two, it's not going to be so active during winter break or over the summer. So one thing that we always called ourselves was a real life network, and I think we see the activity on our network really resemble the way that people interact with each other in real life.
What about across different genres in TV? Have you seen anything different with like how people use it for reality shows versus like sporting events and things like that?
So we see massive spikes in live sporting events. One of the biggest traffic moments we had was the most recent NBA championships when the Mavericks won. You know, live news, we see spikes very similar to what you would see in Twitter when breaking news hits. A lot of the breaking news that I get, I actually now get in GroupMe. But yeah, I think that's another temporal example, right? Sports are very, you know, it's about moments that unfold in real time in the live moment. And these seasonal shows, yes, they do happen in hour spans once a week, but they're things that you can kind of go back and revisit. So it's pretty much the same answer.
Okay. I mean, I think it's really pretty early, but we are starting to see some differences between reality and scripted shows. I mean, you know, scripted shows and dramas, you're a little more, you know, tuned in to the show itself. But then during the commercial break, you know, you see a lot more activity. But even within reality shows, I mean, you know, the level of conversation or the depth of conversation between, you know, Jersey Shore and Teen Mom is going to be a little different. To say the least. But, you know, so it's even within genres. But I think, like I said, it's so early and that we're all sort of learning what those differences are. And as soon as we think that we know something, we see some stuff that sort of contradicts it. But that's, I think, why this stuff is so sort of exciting right now.
Yeah. It's interesting that you say it's so early because I think you also mentioned that MTV has been working officially with Twitter since 2007 for... Mm-hmm. Was it the 2007 MTV Movie Awards, right?
Yeah, it started with the Movie Awards.
So, I mean, for me, that's just astounding because that seems like it's so long ago and you guys were already working in this area of social TV. I think it's paying off. You know, one thing that I think you know we do at Bluefin is we measure social conversations around TV shows. Mm-hmm. And for 2007, the MTV Video Music Awards were the number one most social show that we recorded. Mm-hmm. And across your other shows on MTV, we're seeing the same thing. And since you've been working in this space for what seems to me longer than most others, mm-hmm. Have you seen any evolutions in consumer behavior between 2007 now and what you see going into the future?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely people are you know more used to doing this. I mean, you know, just look at Twitter itself. The difference in scale between 2007 and now. You know, I think people are sort of used to the tools. And, you know, you see this at every event. Yeah, I mean, the VMAs were huge, but you look at the Grammys, and they were bigger than the VMAs. I think you're going to continue around live events, Super Bowl, you know, sporting events, our shows, other people's shows, you're going to continue to see that. I think every year, you know, that show is going to be larger than the previous show. As more people get used to this and more people are using Twitter, Facebook, GroupMe, whatever it is, I think that scale is just going to continue to get larger every year. I mean, it's easier, and you know, especially when you talk about social networks, you know, a few of your friends get on there and they start using it, and then that becomes, you know, 10 of their friends and 30 of their friends and 300 of their friends. So I think it's just grown, you know, year on year as people get more comfortable with this stuff and see, you know, other people, you know, doing it.
Okay. I also want to mention for our audience that we definitely want to save time at the end for questions. So maybe roughly the last 15 minutes or so, we have two mics set up. But once we get closer to the end, I'll give you guys a sign. But if you want to ask questions, I want to let you know there's definitely a opportunity for that. Let's change the topic a little bit. We've talked about your work with MTV, Showtime, the stuff that you do with TV shows. Of course, TV is, you know, programming, and it's also the advertisers, the brands. So completely different topic. What about the brands themselves, the advertisers? Or is there room in this viewer becomes user model for them? Do they get to play? Is there stuff that they can do to better engage their consumers?
Definitely. We've done a small number of really fun experiments with consumer brands. We always want to make sure that the user experience is held as paramount. So it's not a big banner ad that you'd traditionally have seen and would have been popular a couple of years ago. We want to do it in ways that fit with what GetGlue does, as well as really delight and reward the user. So for example, with the Super Bowl, if you checked in, you could be rewarded with stickers from Pepsi. And not only did you get a sticker from Pepsi for either their Melanie Amaro ad or their Pepsi Max ad with Regis, but you could either get a buy one, get one free offer, or you could be entered to win Pepsi for life, or Pepsi Max for life, excuse me. But I think we always want to make sure that it's something that makes sense and is fun and lightweight and isn't something that's really going to be a negative experience for the user where they feel like they're being sold something.
Okay. Any results that you can share from those campaigns?
We don't have any results that we can share publicly, mm-hmm. But I can share that this is not the first thing we've done with Pepsi. So it's always a good sign when they keep coming back. We started working with them last summer. for the All-Star Game and the X Factor. So the fact that they keep returning to us is a good sign that they're happy with the results.
Okay. And then, Mike, for your advertisers and sponsors, or Jared, the work that you've done with brands and advertisers?
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, we work with a lot of different advertising partners to integrate these them into these programs and hopefully unique and organic ways. Verizon last year, who sponsored our Twitter tracker and the visualization stuff that we do, it actually started weeks before the show and then ran through it, to a whole variety of people, Sprint, Pepsi, all these types of people. I think, advertisers want to reach the audience in different ways, in social ways. We're doing a lot of work. If you even think of a 30-second spot on air as the start of a conversation or the start of a story rather than the end of it. So we're doing some things in that area. But yeah, no, absolutely. We're always looking to integrate our advertisers into, just about anything that we do.
Any particular advertiser or sponsor that you want to talk about and you can share some data from?
Well, we probably don't share a lot of data, Verizon is a good one. I mean, we've been, working with Verizon for years now in the VMAs, different, sort of programs every year. But you look at the all the stuff that we've done with Twitter, starting in the back in 2007, but really got big in 2009, something that we started doing because we wanted to do it for ourselves and have been able to bring Verizon into that in a big way. And hopefully, we all found that very successful last year. And then they get to be a part of those moments with us. The Beyonce baby bump moment that was the biggest thing on Twitter until Tim Tebow came around. They're a part of that with us and a part of the show. And, a lot of that really speaks to what their, sort of brand message is. And I think that's the goal for us and to really, work with brands and get their message across in ways that sort of work for our audience and are organic.
Jared?
So we're beginning to experiment, but I think it's pretty difficult, actually. The most important part of all this is the user, it's the consumer. And I think one thing you don't want to do when you have a captive audience, and I think when you're a consumer-facing app or a mobile application, what you have is a consumer-facing, you have a very captive audience. Somebody has their screen open, they're taking some action, they're consuming content. The last thing you want to do is piss them off with something that they didn't ask for, to be there. So you really need to kind of walk this fine line between what is a good and acceptable user experience, and when a brand comes in, it shouldn't be like, how do I get my message out? It's how do I make that user experience better? And one thing that we've seen, who I think has really helped pave the way for this, is actually Facebook. If you look at the direction in which they're moving in terms of the way that they're getting brands to come on and actually spend money on marketing and advertising, it's not banner ads. These are things that are intended to actually enhance your experience when you're on Facebook, when you have it open in your browser, when you have it open on your phone. So I think we're literally just at the very beginning, almost close to the inflection point on when this starts taking off. But there's going to be a lot of innovation in this space, and it's going to take a lot of creativity. It's going to take a lot of experimentation on the network side, on the app developer side, and on the advertising side.
But it helps sometimes. I mean, sometimes we have things that, internally that we want to do creatively. Getting stuff TV, even for a TV network, is tough. I mean, there's a limited amount of time. There's a limited amount of inventory. I mean, you talk about, a big show like the VMAs, and every second is precious creatively to the show producers. So sometimes the best way to sort of push the envelope and do new things is to bring a sponsor in. And luckily, we do work with advertising partners that have that sort of mindset that, okay, let's try this out, let's experiment, and see how it goes.
So I think that's where you see big wins.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Versus, here's our marketing brief, let's make something to fit that versus, let's do something that sort of fits the show and fits the audience. Yeah.
So long as it's thoughtful and poignant and actually makes people happy, then you can't go wrong.
Yeah. Mike, you just said there's a limited amount of time. I think you were referring to, from a TV network standpoint, mm-hmm. limited amount of time and inventory, but also from a consumer perspective, there's a limited amount of time and a limited amount of attention nowadays, right? So people are watching TV, they've got their iPad, they've got their mobile phones, they're tweeting, they're emailing, they're doing all sorts of things. So Did you guys do anything special to deal with the shorter and shorter attention spans? I mean, how do you engage consumers nowadays when there's just so many things competing for consumer attention?
Well, I mean, you know, I think as we think about the second screen experience and sort of what do we as the content creator bring to the table, you know, it's exactly, you know, exactly that. I mean, you know, why we do these things is, you know, a couple of advantages we have. We know what's going to happen in our shows before they air, and we have access to, you know, our cast and production teams that other people don't have. And how can we, you know, use that to create really compelling experiences that will sort of draw people in, add value? You know, eventually, like I said, it's really early, but we want to get to a point where you haven't really seen, you haven't seen the whole show until you've seen it with this experience. A lot of what we've done in that space around creating content around our shows has been, you know, all about pre-show and post-show. You know, pre-show content leading up to the weekly premieres and post-show content after shows, whatever, to sort of bridge that gap between, you know, a one show airing and the next show the following week. I think when you think about, you know, creating content for during the show, that's a completely different experience, both creatively on the production side when you're, you know, talking to show producers or sort of brainstorming what that should be, but then also how you program that. You know, how much is too much and what is distracting and you know, what are people really going to get engaged with? I think that's what we're really playing around with now. I don't think anyone's, you know, really figured that out or nailed it yet. But it is, it's for us, it's a different sort of creative and programming exercise. So, you know, like I said, we're hopefully doing some things that will keep people in, but you know, we'll see how it goes. But it's definitely changed both our creative process and our programming process.
Yeah, I think from a live viewing experience, you know, we have an app, the Showtime Social, which is an iPad app where we have live viewing experiences as you watch the show. So things that, you know, especially for a drama like Dexter, where it's very engaging, things that you have to pay attention to, dialogue, storyline, you sometimes don't really have the, you know, opportunity to compete with that, and you want to still somehow add value. Why am I actually watching this with an app? What value does this serve to me as I'm going along? So polls, you know, very, very simple things and questions that predictive questions where you're able to kind of quickly answer, you know, and I guess continue to watch the show and then get to see some results afterwards, you know, play very well in this space. So that's something we're working on and have been doing. But, you know, I think other things too, like you start to look at ways that, you know, guest star info gets introduced or other things that are related to the show that people can quickly digest. When they see somebody on the screen, like they want to understand, why does that person look familiar? Who is this actually from? What other shows have I seen them in? These are the types of things I think, you know, are valuable to the consumer that they could take in very, very quickly and look to engage with after the show is over. So I know there's only so much, I guess, you can do as you watch the show before you start to realize you're taking away from that actual viewing experience. So it's something that I think, you know, we're all trying to figure out and how we can do that, either throwing to a website afterwards to have fans discuss the show with, you know, other groups and their friends, or, you know, within the app themselves, lightweight things that they can do easily and quickly that still have, like, you know, add a lot of value as they continue to watch.
Okay. We can start mixing in some questions. So if you have questions for any of these folks, there's a mic in the front and there's also a mic in the back. So feel free to start lining up. And then as you do that, I will throw these guys one more question. So definitely feel free, get organized over there. So one question for you guys while folks are getting in front of the mics. Change of topics. Now, Jared, you mentioned that it was at last year's South By that you approached these guys and you struck up a partnership. So now it's a beautiful thing, right? So I think there are probably tons of people in the audience that would love your insight into partnerships and what they can do with a GetGlue, a GroupMe, you know, major established networks like Showtime and MTV. What do you look for in partnerships, kind of like with you know, more up and coming companies?
What we look for are partnerships that complement the use cases that we already see on GroupMe. Very similar to what we've been talking about before. It's all about the user experience. It's just making users happy. So when we think of working with somebody, whether they're you know, a new startup, whether they're a media company, whether they are a video producer or the X Games, we look for things that mimic the way that people already use GroupMe or new creative ways in which people can actually use GroupMe. So if you feel like, you know, you work at a company or are starting a company where there's a use case that matches what happens on GroupMe, we'd love to talk.
I think coming from the perspective of, you know, we've just been in this new space for a little less than 2 years. Coming from the perspective of somebody who's trying to get partnerships, we, you know, last, I think it was 2010, in the spring and early summer, we're talking to groups, and we were really lucky that we had people who were trying to get these relationships off the ground who are really smart. But that, obviously, you want to have great talent on your team, but you also need to be approaching the right people. We were really lucky with Showtime, who's one of our launch partners. You want people who want to experiment and try new things, and they continue to be one of our top partners because of that. You really want to work with people who want to try new things and aren't necessarily afraid of seeing what will work and what won't and what sticks. So it's always a matter of trying to find the people who are adventurous.
I mean, for us, I think, you know, as we were saying, I think anything that will sort of add value to the experience or that we think that our viewers and users will, you know, will use. And then, you know, I think for the brands that we work with, look, it's great promotion and marketing and awareness. You know, and I remember last year at South by Southwest having a conversation with one of the guys from Instagram and you know, now they're huge, but I mean, he had the same question. What do we do with all these people that want to work with us? It's like, look, the best, my advice to him was, you know, the best thing that you can do is like, look at it as a learning opportunity. It's going to, you know, they're going to help get the word out about, you know, your service and what you guys are doing. You know, and it just really helps when it's easy to work with people, either technically or, you know, it's where it's easy to do this stuff. And it definitely helps, you know, sometimes when a media company comes along, people see dollar signs, you know. Great, we're going to work with you guys and we're going to charge you a lot of money or we're going to ask for a piece of advertising revenue, and that doesn't help. So that was part of my advice to Instagram was like, you know, sort of embrace these brands, stay true to what you guys want to do, and then make it a really positive positive, you know, experience for both people. And that's, you know, we've been able to do that with Twitter for quite a long time, and they really get that.
Yeah, I think for us too, it's definitely looking at ways that we can, you know, understand what this new company or platform is trying to do. Is this something that's a great way for us to connect with our users to really enhance that experience? I mean, that's the basic question, right? There's no reason for us to kind of go out there and just find the new shiny object of the moment and look to just work with these companies just to kind of say that we did. I think for us, it's a good mix of understanding what is it that's really going to add value to the user. You know, you always want to work with people that, you know, and companies that are willing to kind of create something new and try things that are, you know, we could all learn from and really, you know, make this viewing platform better. You know, certainly so many companies are coming aboard. And I think, you know, in the past year we've met with a lot. We're very, very fortunate to you know, be able to kind of get things off the ground and kind of learn as well. So I think this year I'm very excited to kind of see and, you know, take a look at more of the panels and see what other companies are out there, especially around television, data visualization, a variety of different things. So, you know, I think the biggest thing is just kind of understand at the end of the day, what is it that's going to really add value to the viewer?
All right. There are a lot of people lined up, so we want to get to the audience. This is good news for me because I get to take a break. So we will alternate between the front and the back. So we will start with the gentleman in the front.
Hey, my name is, can you hear this? Yeah. My name is Jordan. I just wanted to do a couple things. Applaud both the big guys for, you know, taking some risks and kind of stepping out with some of the newer things. I think it certainly takes a bit of a leap of faith to do that. And I also wanted to applaud the Get Glues and the GroupMes as well, because you guys are killing it in many regards. One of the things I really wanted to find out was, how do you guys measure success, right? So you kind of started to touch on it a little bit, Paul, with, you know, biggest value is certainly, is this adding to the viewer experience? But, you know, how do you, at the end of the day, measure that doing GroupMe, doing a, you know, spending the time and effort on Get Glue is successful for you guys? And you know, without putting these guys on the spot too, like, how are the ways that you're challenging these guys to try to get you the information that you need to show that you're engaging your viewers and to show that there's some value being returned?
Yeah, I think, you know, measuring success is tricky because usually when you're working with new companies, there's not really established benchmarks to really work off of, right? I had no idea what to expect when first working with Kimber and Alex on, you know, creating stickers. Like, what value is that going to actually do for us in terms of engaging users? Is this a platform that our users want to come back to? You know, and thankfully I can say that, you know, after like, you know, a year and a half of working with them, we still can see continued growth in terms of people checking in, people that, you know, are sharing their stickers across various networks like Twitter and Facebook. You know, Kimber and Alex have built, you know, built very interesting tools for us to look like and understand what type of views and, you know, impressions are we able to generate? How many check-ins are we seeing each, you know, each week? What types of promotions are we running to really look to incorporate growth in terms of your users wanting to actively participate week after week? So those are the types of things we actually look to see. GroupMe is interesting as well. This is kind of like, for us, like our first foray into understanding what are the dynamics between private groups of friends that want to continue this conversation, right? We understand that this is a great technology. I use it especially around, like, you know, events or meeting up. It's very, very easy for me to kind of communicate with four or five people of where to be or where to go. But also looking at, you know, ways that, you know, again, like when we first came into this, I had no idea of understanding how many messages we should be looking at each day, each week, each month, off season, of what to communicate. So I think, you know, it's a good balance to understand, you know, working with partners, you know, with these companies, they've been able to kind of provide, you know, us with important data that allows us to see growth. That's kind of like what I'm really looking after in terms of when I'm working with these partnerships. One, are users responding? You know, is this something where they feel like this adding value? You can see within comments of all the social platforms that we promote what users are actually thinking about their experience. Do they love checking in? Do they love, you know, starting groups around, you know, with their friends or what they're watching? You know, we've been thankful that yes, they have. And also that the more that we continue this type of promotion, the more people are actually participating on these platforms and the more people that are actually sending messages. I mean, for us, it's not like I'm looking for, you know, get glued to trump Twitter in terms of amount of, you know, mentions that we're getting. That's not the case. I'm really looking for a quality of a partnership that can allow us to really build with a company that's, you know, is our audience. You know, we're looking to kind of basically get involved with our fans wherever they're discussing our shows. If we understand that this is a TV platform or, you know, social TV platform that's really allowing fans to connect with each other, that's very important for us. So those are kind of some of the things that we look at.
Okay. Oh, Mike, did you
want? Yeah, I just think it's a case-by-case basis. I mean, sometimes it is that sort of quantifiable data that you're looking for. You know, a lot of times, you know, like as I mentioned with GroupMe and Dance Crew, it's, you know, let's make this available to people and see how they use it. Sometimes, you know, can it sort of confirm or deny assumptions that you have? You know, the first Twitter thing in 2009, the data visualization thing, we're like, hey, I wonder when Lady Gaga walks down the red carpet with Kermit the Frog if we see a spike in people, you know, within 10 or 20 seconds talking about that. I know it seems laughable now, but, you know, back then it's like we didn't really know. So sometimes just being able to sort of confirm assumptions you have or prove them wrong is very valuable.
Okay. We'll go to the microphone in the back. And I think, you know, I would love to try to get all the audience questions in, so I'm going to ask the panelists to be snappy with your answers.
Yeah,
all right?
Paul, come on.
Panelists in the back. Audience in the microphone in the back.
Hi, my name's Tamar Krinsky, and my question is about the I part of ROI. I'm curious to know about the costs for these kinds of initiatives, both from GetGlue and GroupMe, about, you know, what your ranges are. And I'm guessing you're not going to share the Dexter marketing budget, but if at least you could give some sort of range of what type of, what kinds of costs these initiatives involve?
Nope.
Paul, you can tell us, Paul. It's just a
range. I'm just talking range.
Yeah. I mean, for us, I can't actually share specific numbers in terms of investment. Certainly from a time perspective, you know, we're a small group. The group I work with is fairly small, but certainly I think we have to always evaluate on a case-by-case basis if this is something that we actually have the resources, time to really spend on making this, you know, amazing. I would love to work with every single partner in the sun that, you know, is doing innovative technology and creative ways to connect their fans, but it's just not always possible.
Before we go to the next questions, does anyone want to share with us a range?
A range of marketing budgets for a show? Well, yeah, no one's going to do that.
All right. You know, I think, all right, I had to try.
The point is, like, a lot of the stuff that at least that I'm doing doesn't even come out of marketing budgets, and we don't even necessarily consider it marketing. It doesn't even come from our marketing group. It more comes from content editorial, you know, and things like that. So, yeah.
All right. I tried. Microphone.
Maybe this is a number that you can share. Is there anything you can say about the number of viewers that is using GetGlue or GroupMe in relation to the total viewership?
For us, so we're 2 million total viewers or total users, and it varies from show to show, and sometimes it lines up really nicely with the Nielsen ratings. So the Oscars were our biggest event to date, with 170,000 check-ins, which is a great number. But on a weekly basis, it won't always line up like that. Fringe is one of our top shows, which sometimes I feel like if I weren't on GetGlue, I would feel like I were the only person watching, according to the Nielsens. But with GetGlue, I see that there are sometimes 30,000 other people watching the show that is on the bubble, but they're so excited about it and they're talking about it. So it kind of, it doesn't, the numbers don't add up nicely, but it's fascinating to see.
Okay, microphone in the front.
Thank you. Thank you to everyone in the panel. And this question is specifically for the networks in the panel. How do you incorporate paid media to amplify the social media effect beyond the echo chamber of those that are already watching the show, and then increase ratings?
Well, I mean, I think it just helps make it bigger and get the message across. You know, as I was saying, there's a lot of things that we want to do that we can't do, and sometimes sponsors can help us do that. And whether that's, you know, integration into our shows or, you know, taking those sort of integrations across the web, or to TV and co-branded spots. So I just think that it sometimes can even help amplify the things that, you know, that we're doing.
Yeah, right. I think, you know, certainly a lot of our focus is obviously tuning of a premiere. You know, a lot of, you know, paid media goes towards that, but certainly it helps to get support across other social platforms to really promote your marketing promotions and what you have throughout the season.
And more specifically, do you do promoted tweets? Do you spend money on Facebook to get people to tune in? Beyond what you're doing with GetGlue and with GroupMe?
I mean, our marketing group does. I mean, they use all those tactics, you know, sure. From, you know, Twitter to Facebook to, you know, ROS Media. I mean, those guys, you know, and they learn and they get data on all that stuff, and they'll continue to invest in things that work for them. So,
sure.
All right.
Thank you.
Microphone in the back.
Hi, my name is Hiren Mandalia. So in the social TV world, you know, pretty much everybody is talking about increasing social engagement for live shows. But we know for a fact that there are so many users who watch TV time shifted. What are your thoughts on, you know, on that? As in, how do you increase social engagement and bring these... also bring a similar social experience for people who are watching it, you know, later that night or, you know, time shifted TV?
Well, you know, in the app that we have out there, Watch With, we're doing that. It sort of acts as a social DVR. So we're recording, you know, we're going through and filtering out the best of that sort of social conversation, and it's actually recorded. And so, you know, either through when a show is repeated, you know, the app knows that the show is on, and it will play back that sort of recorded experience, and then people, you know, during repeats or during DVR can add to that conversation. A little different in DVR, you have to, you know, hit play, but that was, you know, the way that we sort of, and all the synced content that we're programming, photos, video, trivia, whatever it might be, is recorded as well, so that, you know, you do have the opportunity, whether it's a repeat or on a DVR, to have that same, you know, same experience. But it's, you know, it's tough, especially if you know, the person, you are a person who is on Twitter, or you are on Facebook, not to spoil it for yourself. So But that's how we approach it. We let our app actually work as a social DVR itself and play that experience back, you know, not just during the weekly premieres.
Right, and same for Show Social, which is our iPad app. We also have, you know, obviously are encouraging live viewing at all times, and that's certainly a big focus of ours. But, you know, the live viewing experience also, you know, the polls, trivia questions, video, and photos that are serviced up throughout replays also work as well.
All right.
I mean, and that might be a place actually where the content works even better than social. You know, by that time, you know, you might have heard or seen a lot of the social commentary, but you might not have seen, you know, all the extra content that people like us and Showtime are producing around the show.
Okay. Microphone in the front.
Hello. Hello, my name is Almas. I want to ask, what do you think about the interaction for those folks who are sitting in front of TV and with their multiple devices, and so how they can interact with the content? They could be family members or roommates, and what they do, like what opportunities do you provide for those folks? And second question is, nowadays, some content is international, so we have content shows like which is broadcasted in different countries. But there are particular auditory or groups of people who are very active, for example, in United States, but not that much in other countries, for example, some European country. So how you can connect these different groups? That's it.
Well, on the MTV side, I mean, you know, I think, you know, the international MTV international group is a separate group and very regional. And I think that's what those guys do. They know their region, they know their country better than I ever could. And they're creating their own experiences to sort of serve their audience. I think that's exactly why they're set up that way. So, I mean, they really approach it on a region-to-region and country-to-country basis. Because you're right, it's going to be different country-to-country and even show-to-show.
Yeah, and for us, I think, you know, you talked about what are we doing in terms of providing content for users that are watching multiple users with multiple screens in their homes. I mean, you know, working with partners like Iklu and GroupMe, that's exactly what we're trying to do, as well as within our own applications, right? It's to provide interesting, engaging things that they're going to want to look at a screen to see, you know, there's value, there's polls, there's other questions that relate to the plot of the show as you're watching along, you know. Four or five people are in the house and they all have their own, like, you know, an iPhone or Android or an iPad. They're able to kind of log in with a variety of these apps to kind of engage with shows.
All right. We will take one more from the back. And I'm sorry I couldn't get all of your questions in, but I see from the clock that we are running out of time. So last question from the back. So no pressure or anything, but make it good.
I try. Jean-Yves Lemoine from Paris. My question is about, on one side there is Twitter, which has a lot of users, of course, and which is not very good for conversation. And on the other side, there are companies like GetGlue, like GroupMe, and other second screen experiments, especially from MTV or Showtime. And they provide better conversation, richer experience, additional content. But my question is there already a room for other second screen application than Twitter, because it appears that people want only to share, I can say, very anecdotic things. And for that, 130 characters is enough. Do you think there is really a room for second screen rich application for mass audience?
Well, I mean, you know, I think so. I mean, we'll see. I like to say that the best probably second screen app right now is a web browser, and people are definitely using that while they're watching TV. You know, so, I mean, you'll see. I think that's why you'll see, you know, so many panels about social TV, so many companies playing around in this space, whether it's media brands, people trying to address this horizontally for every TV channel. But, you know, again, it's playing off an action that people are already doing. We know that, you know, 75% or 80% of people are watching TV with a device, you know, whether they're doing something related to the show or not. So it's not really a new, you know, behavior that we're trying to create. but just how can, you know, how can we work with that behavior and sort of steer it in certain ways?
Yeah, I think you bring up a good point. Certainly a lot of people are out there tweeting about things that are going on within the show. That exists, and it's large, obviously, because Twitter's user base is huge. But at the same time, you know, I think there absolutely is a place for this, you know, second screen experience. I mean, GroupMe. There's a lot of things that you may want to say within a show that you only want to discuss privately amongst your friends that watch. So I certainly think that that use case exists, and I think it will grow as users are more aware of what options they have and what's, you know, what types of promotions that we're running with partners. Same thing with GetGlue. They bring, you know, a great community of television watchers or, you know, quality comments around shows, and it's very, very easy for users to kind of check in and share across various social platforms of what they're watching. So I think, you know, we'll all see like kind of where things go, but certainly I think as of right now, it's exciting to see that there's a wealth of opportunity for fans and networks and, you know, companies to kind of work together to kind of build the second screen experience.
Yeah. We're already there. I'm onto the third screen. I'm watching. I have the laptop and I have my phone out. I think the question is, are they ever going to be interrelated?
It's like five blades. You got to go to five screens.
Right.
I just want to add, you know, I think Twitter is a key way to interact with TV, if for no other reason than the sheer size of its number of users. But I think we can provide a lot that Twitter can't, whether it's a focused conversation. So you can be interacting. So on a Sunday night at 9 o'clock, so I'm watching The Walking Dead, and I'm missing Downton Abbey. And if I'm on Twitter, I'll see tweets coming past about Downton Abbey that have spoiled the episode for me. And I'll see somebody tweeting about what they're having for dinner. And none of this has to relate with what is happening on screen that I care about at that moment. And I think that focus, as well as our ability to really provide a dialogue rather than a monologue of somebody just shooting out a really quick thought, but people can actually put developed things that aren't limited by characters. And yeah, you can really, really get a little bit deeper into these shows that you care about.
All right. I want to thank the panelists, Mike from MTV, Paul from Showtime, Jared from GroupMe, Kimber from GetGlue. My name is Tom Tai. I'm from Bluefin. And I think it's officially happy hour time. Thank you for coming.